I'm Councilwoman Miller. We are joined by Councilmembers Wyder, Kilpatrick, Powers, Cartier, Smiley, Greta, and my aide, Sue Moore. May I have a motion on the minutes, please?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. We've been joined by Councilman Bell. The next item is 15-0108. This is basically to appropriate federal funding to the Section 8 Housing Choice Program. If you take a look at your legislation, you can see the breakout of the expenditures. For the most part, we've got the salary of wages. We've also got the bulk of it to the Section 8 Housing Vouchers. Any questions or comments? Yes, Councilman Cartier.
We currently have through the Housing Choice Voucher program about 1,800 vouchers. Is that correct?
I'm Terry Stuber. 1825 is our voucher.
1825.
Max.
All right. Okay.
And what follow-up? So we're maintaining a waiting list. Maybe you can comment on that as well.
Yes, sir. We opened up a waiting list February of 2015. Took 550 names. We have since taken 200 people off that list.
Further questions?
Sophia Hansen, General Manager, Department of Community Services. We actually had a presentation prepared. Terry Stuber was going to walk through some of the finer points for the Section 8 program.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your time, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. The HUD appropriation funding is based on pretty much last year's expenses. Whatever we spent last year, we should get this year, but it could change based on the proration factor that the Congress has on it. And also any reserve funding we have from prior years of what we did not spend. This is just a little history showing you our funding that's been appropriated for the last 4 years. 2013 has been sequestration, slipped in, and we had to come to a hold on everything. We think of how we were spending our money and issuing vouchers. That's why we, in 2014, our funding utilization is so far down. This is our voucher utilization. You can see that as well. In 2014, we really dipped to low to 92.8% of our vouchers used. We are creeping back up in 2015. We're going to end up at 96% utilized in 1,824,000. These are some of the variables and challenges that we look at. Congress does not finalize their budget until the new year. So we do not get a finalized dollar amount until usually February or March, we hear about it April. Sometimes it's been June, all of it's June before we know. So that's a real challenge for us in forecasting how many vouchers we want to go on the street and spending. And you never know what's going to happen. Sometimes there's a decrease in the operation amount that they're going to give us that year, so they're going to go back. Client visa, there's a lot of barriers. Even after we do have the money, we do our forecasting, and we want to put so many vouchers on the street, and we do, the clients have some barriers or shops. They're not always something you can see without the visa and the housing. Some of the barriers are security deposits. The agencies out there that help provide security deposits, they run out of money, people by the end of the year. They have credit issues that aren't allowing them to do that or not to do that. things like that, we can always think about, but that doesn't mean we always do that. And then we have portability issues, filling versus absorb. At any one time, we can have 10 to 20 people moving in and out of our housing authority to another housing authority. We don't know if that other housing authority is going to absorb that, or if they're going to bill us until it actually happens. So that's always a big question, and that's one of our big challenges. This is just some of the highlights of where we're going to spend the money that we receive this year. Tax, that's our housing assistance payment to the landlord, that's what we give. Utility payments to our clients and helps them to pay some of the utility costs. Our homeownership, we have about 15 people in homeownership right now, so that's helping them pay a portion of their mortgage. FSS, our family self-service district, we have about 30,000. Port in, port out, and our tenant protection. So 15 mil for 56 by the And then for our administrative costs, salaries and wages, 82,432. That's about 12 full-time equivalents. We have about 3 salaries that we pay just a portion of the salary. That's a good time to put in. Benefits, operating costs. Total budget of 7,391.6. Some of our goals in 2016 is to increase our homeownership. We currently have 12 clients in our properties for homes. They've been approved. They've gone through the first time home buyer counseling. They are working with realtors to find themselves at home. We are trying to really ramp that up because we see that as a win for everyone because we're helping them get into our home if they're going home. And we helped them get a mortgage for 15 years, and then after that, they went around. They're off the program. So that opens up the door for more people. We've increased our payment standard to reduce the rent burden on our clients. The more we pay and subsidy, the less they have to pay. And increasing that payment standard for 2016, we've been able to cut the rent burden in half for the clients who get there. We want to increase our voucher utilization by 2%. We like to be between 96% and 98% of our voucher utilization. That's a real good solid number, not too high. We stay really safe in that area. Increase our outreach for new landlords and low poverty census tracts. That's one of our biggest challenges. We want to see our clients in low poverty census tracts because sometimes there's their pockets in poverty, that high poverty areas, and we want to break that out. We are in the process of developing a program that we are going to target landlords in these census tracts that we want and do some outreach with them. We've already had Patterson Schools rental division contact us and ask for meetings so that we can talk about how they can help us get into some of these areas. We also want to fill 3 of the 6 vacant positions that we currently have. We've had those 6 vacant positions for the last 3 years. So, these are our wins in 2015. FSS is our family self-sufficiency program. That is an optional program that any of our clients who wish to be part of it. They receive counseling from community agencies and help them set goals and meet them to make sure they have the resources to implement them. And while they're in this program and they have increases in earned income, of course they pay a higher rent with a income-based program, but the reduction in our HAT payment goes into a savings account for them. And once they reach their goal, that money is there to use as they get. These 5 graduates actually get into homeownership on their own, not through Section 8. So we can add $48,000 this year to help them. We streamlined the qualifying process with our waiting list. And we opened the waiting list this year. We wanted to try to think how we can move through it faster. and get our clients qualified. The last time we did the waivers was in 2001 and then in 2009, and it's a very integrated process that we had. Now we can qualify that pretty much at the first few years. In the past, we didn't even in order to get qualified to come off the waivers. So that's why we're able to take up 300 people this year. So here we go. We have eight section of ownership. We have four new homeowners this year. That's due to our new briefing program. Every quarter, I invite anyone who is income qualified for that program. It's 2015. They have to make an annual salary and be against anyways. I invite them to a briefing. It takes about a couple hours. They come in, we sit down, we go over a slideshow of everything that they need to do in order to get from where they're at to home ownership. It's been pretty successful because I have eight people on the sheet, and hopefully they will be home owners within the next 6 months. So we're just going to keep that up. We are involved with a challenge to end veterans homelessness. We have a voucher program. We don't have the voucher. Wilmington Housing Authority has those vouchers, but they oftentimes port to us. And we have our court specialist, our voucher. We've been highly involved with this voucher challenge. And have gotten us some new landlords in some low poverty areas. And they look for, you know, easy transit system for them to be able to get the buses come to the transit system. One third of all of our landlords now receive subsidy via direct deposit. That cuts down a lot of work for a lot of us in the house. And one quarter of all of our POPs, that's a termination, that's end of participation, ended their participation because of over income. That's real good. And we currently have 20 clients who are at a zero cap. Once they're at a zero cap, we're not paying any of their rent. For 6 months, they just roll off the program and have to get their account contribution. And just some good stuff. That's why we're in this. And one of our housing assistants, she closed on a beautiful townhouse in April. This is one of, we had an art contest. And we have our clients' children who participate, and they have to do a poster on the map and write an essay on that. And that's right over there. And I think, was she the first place winner?
She won first place in the entire state. For the elementary.
This is one of our many letters we get from our clients saying thank you. And that's one of our briefings. We're a room full of people. I think we have at least 50 people who are visiting doctors. And our most recent homeowner last week. She is in the homeownership section. Any questions?
Yes, sir. I'd like to recognize that you've been joined by President Bullock, Councilman Collins, Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With the VASH program, you had mentioned that the city has the vouchers for veterans homelessness.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we participate in that program as far as why wouldn't we have?
Well, the Veterans Administration chooses one housing authority to issue those vouchers. They chose.
In the state? You know? Okay. Okay. Now, is there any prerequisite or requirement that they work with the other governments?
No. We could even apply to receive funding for that. Mm-hmm. That's all done through.
But I guess my point is that if they've been selected to sort of oversee that particular program here in the state, do they reach out to the other governmental agencies?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
That's how we've now held about 15 or 16 of the veterans.
Yeah, very strong interest, and I think we all do, and our veterans who have served, and especially with homelessness. If I may, Madam Chair, just one other question. You had mentioned wanting to fill 3 out of the 6 vacancies that you currently have?
Yeah.
Okay, what are those positions?
Four of them are housing assistants, nursing workers, or client contact, and 2 are inspectors.
And which ones are you looking? And, you know, it's sort of a prelude to the upcoming budget process, but you've mentioned it, and I think that we should be in tune with that. Your folks do a tremendous job. And I think having 6 vacancies, what are the 3 that you've identified early on that you would like consideration to have filled?
Sophia Hansen, Director or General Manager, Community Services. We've actually filled 1 of them. We hired an inspector. We had contract employees doing the inspections.
Okay.
And with the volume and the consistency, we need to have regular staff involved in the process. So we filled 1 of those. And the other 2 are program assistants. So it's all federal funding.
Okay.
It won't impact our actual budget.
Okay. So there's no county funds involved?
No.
In that?
No county funds.
And if the federal funding is there to fill them, why wouldn't we have them fill?
That's exactly why we're doing it. Exactly.
Okay.
You've answered the question.
Okay. So our intent is to fill them.
Absolutely. We filled 1 of the 3. And we're working with HR on the additional 2 positions.
So from a budgetary standpoint, it'll be the federal dollars that'll help you fill these positions?
Yes, 100% federal.
Okay.
Councilman Powers.
Just thinking back to the question
the Veterans Administration actually identifies every kind of illness that they do not get to the Veterans Administration.
I mean, some of the guests can't be talking about people.
This is Carrie Casey with Community Services. Last week, Veterans Week, Veterans Day, the 10th, 11th, and 12th, the Veterans Administration, the Homeless Planning Council, the King House County, we all went out and did what we call a Veterans Count to try to go into, we went from 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. to look in those pockets where there might be homeless veterans. I mean, we looked for all homeless people, but we were doing surveys on homeless veterans. And to try to identify some of those folks that live in, you know, there are places all over the county. They live in the woods, they're camping, and to try to identify them, survey them, get their information so we can bring them into the VA and try to find them some emergency housing. In that process, I think statewide, drew an additional 12 homeless veterans. So it wasn't, but I mean, you know, it's difficult, like you said, to find those.
Some of them don't want them.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a couple of questions, one around the home ownership and the other one with the low priority census tracts. But around home ownership, I think on one slide, FSS graduates 5. Another slide says, earlier said there was 12 people in the program, I guess at some point. And another slide said there was 4 new homeowners. So I'm trying to understand.
Okay.
Because it's in different places, and in one section shows that, well, X number of dollars was going to home ownership, and I thought most of the money was from the FSS program, and they would still get some part of Section 8 even once they got into the home ownership.
Yeah. Not everything goes into home ownership was in the FSS program.
Okay.
Some do.
See your picture up there?
In fact, this one young lady here,
look at that.
She was in the FSS program, and she went to purchase my home. She received a check that day for $9,900. But she totally forgot that she had it. She even had that account. And
really?
When I brought her that check today, she started crying. She was anyway, she can use that however she pleases,
mm-hmm.
but So if you're in the FSS program and you just want to move on to the membership, you can. You get the money from your escrow account once you hit the settlement table. Other people who have not been in the FSS program can still go into the membership. They just don't have the benefit of the escrow account. The four that I said that went to the membership this year have been working with us for the last year through the membership.
And they're not necessarily in the FSS program?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
And 12 are searching for
12 currently are searching.
Okay.
We're trying to put a really big emphasis on home ownership and really open the door for clients to see that it's achievable and it can do that. So that's why I kind of talked about home ownership so much.
Yeah, the other. One final question. We also said in one of the slides that we are really targeting landlords in low poverty census tracts. I guess I'm trying to understand the logic of that. I mean, if you said low to moderate, maybe, but it seems to me that we're deliberately trying to create ghettos.
No, it's the opposite.
Oh, you're doing the opposite.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Poverty.
I misunderstood the slide. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Any further questions before we move on to summer programming? All right.
Just one minute, Chair, and I'm sorry for being late. I don't know if this is coming for Gary or not, but where are we at with the funds that we were using to purchase all these homes? Or is that bank replenishing and we're looking for more units to purchase now?
This is Carrie Casey. Are you talking Neighborhood Stabilization Program?
Right.
Yes, we're currently, because we receive grant funds from the state through the Strong Neighborhood Housing Fund.
You do have money there, we're
buying houses in Garfield Park, and Overview Gardens. That's where we got the grant funds. So we're currently looking for 6 houses in there. We are also working on another 6 houses along that corridor. That's where we got an additional $500,000 in grant funds to go into that area.
Well, the money you got before you were able to use in other areas, do you have any of that money?
We are very short on that money. That was the NSP revolving funds. I mean, we're using some of our NSP in NSP eligible areas that partnered with the grant.
Disappointing.
It's one-time funding.
I'm going to shift us to the summer programming for youth. And Ms. Casey and General Manager, if you do have a report on NSP that you'd like to do in the future, we'll get that on the agenda.
Provided by the Division of Community Resources. For over 40 years, the county has been providing recreation programs to youth and adults in various departments that we were in. This year, and our goal, and we've committed ourselves to always providing programs that are accessible to everybody, affordable to everybody, and available to everybody. And that's kind of what drives us. This year, we were able to provide educational, cultural, and recreational programs that had increased participation in fiscal year 2015 of over 51,000 youth. We're a busy division. We're going to give you an overview of some of those programs today. These are programs that were run during the current summer, July, August, and September, or August, June, July, and August. Michael Legato is here. He's going to talk to you about the Summer Youth Employment Program. I'll talk to you about our full and half-day recreation camps. for our 4.5-day sports camps, high school sports leagues, youth sports leagues. Susan Eggert is here with us. She's going to talk to you about art studio and Rockwood programs. I'll talk about Carousel Park, and then we'll talk about our youth initiatives that we have currently running in the new board. So to start us off, we have Michael Bogato, who is the supervisor for the Summer Youth Employment Program.
Thank you. This past summer, 2015, division for the Department of Community Services brought in 89 youth, ages 14 to 20, participate in our Summer Youth Employment Program. All youth employees received a four-day job training orientation, which included an overview of Newcastle County personnel policies, enhancing soft skills such as customer service and appropriate dress, enhancing interpersonal and professional skills and relationships within the workplace. We went over personal responsibility and conduct, problem solving and resolution, as well as financial literacy and responsibility. Youth received two performance assessments during the program, taking place during the midterm program and also at the end. And as a result of the successful job training and orientation and placements, as well as their work experience over the course of the program, 33% of the summer youth improved in their skills, meaning their assessments improved, their scoring improved. Another 24% of those youth received a perfect score at the beginning and at the end. And then another 10% maintained their performance level over the course of the program. In response to the financial literacy portion of the training, we were successful in getting 80% of our youth enrolled in our direct deposit of their paycheck, which we think is very important to teach those youth. And at the program's end, each participating youth received a certificate of completion of the SYDP program. The Summer Youth Employment Program partnered in variety with a variety of employers and was able to place youth at 41 work sites throughout the county, including but not limited to Newcastle County departments and offices and libraries, state agencies and offices such as DHSS, Division of Social Services, our state school districts, state parks, town of Ellesmere, some senior and community centers, some theater groups, as well as Surratt Pool and Dunleavy, just to name a few. Job descriptions and duties involved with our work sites included administrative support services, public works, manual labor, library services, customer service, youth mentorship, senior center programming activity assistance, and also companionship, and then swimming pool supervision and maintenance, and park recreation services. We were able to hire and utilize three program coordinators, which supervise our youth, serve as mentors to our youth, and also work with the on-site supervisors to make sure that the kids had a positive work experience over the course of the program. All employers and work sites also received a certificate of appreciation in their participation of the program. To administer the program, the Department of Community Services utilized Delaware State Department of Labor grant funding, also a grant awarded by Newcastle County Council, thank you very much, as well as funding from the Department of Community Services operating budget, all resulting in an extended total of approximately $184,000 to conduct the program. We received approximately $91,000 from the Department of Labor. County Council contributed $61,600, to which both we expended 100% of DOL and County Council funding. And then as far as the Department of Community Services operating budget, we expended about $30,000, or 76% of that budget. Now 24% will be used as startup costs for next year's program. So we withhold that just a little bit each year, making sure we have enough to start with this program for next year. That's finished with Summer Youth Employment Program. Any questions there?
Yep.
Yeah.
89 participants.
Yes.
Which but I'm curious, how many went through all the way to the end?
I think we had we had about seven dropped out.
Jerry, I asked how much we stopped at number seven. Well, you spent a lot of money.
In most cases, we were able to replace.
Yeah, I just know when I first got involved a few years ago, I had one of the job sites in my district. The first day there was six, the second day there was two, the next day there was one. I actually went through the whole thing and ended up with a full-time job with a contractor that we worked with, which was great. And I got to tell you, I worked much better paying a job with this way because you didn't come to work either. So I was just curious. That's a good percentage of people. But for everyone that doesn't come back, that's one that someone else did not get.
Yes, we do try to fill those. A lot of what we try to do is place those youth at a work site that is within close proximity to their home address. You know, that presents some challenges in creating a, you know, good, you know, mesh of, you know, between the work site and what the youth, you know, is interested in. But, you know, that's a big challenge for it. I think we handle that pretty well. But that's one of the considerations.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Michael, as far as the 89 youth that were employed, do you have any guesstimate of how many came from the different areas of the county? And I'm in particular interested in the southern part of Newcastle County. I represent from Newcastle down a large area, but just kind of trying to get a grasp for the MOT, and I always add P for Port Penn, but the area south of the canal.
Yes. The greatest majority of youth that we hire come from the Newcastle area. 1972. Middletown, we hired about five from that area. Our biggest issue is finding work sites as well as receiving applications from that area.
That's what I was
gonna say. One of our goals for this year is to recruit from that area a little more heavily,
great,
as well as develop partnerships with work sites from that area.
I'm glad to hear that. I think anything we can do, we have a large area, continuing to increase in population, a lot of schools, a lot of young folks that would probably love to have a summer youth employment job. So anything you can do to assist in recruiting and doing that, we appreciate it.
Well, I am working with some of my staff to expand the program, enhance the program, as well as, you know, find additional work sites.
Thank you.
We have Councilman Hollins, Councilman Tackett. May I remind you, it's 4:25. We still have more than half of this presentation. We have another presentation, and we're supposed to start at 4 for executive committee. Go ahead, Councilman Hollins.
Yeah, to the point that Councilman Bell is raising, you know, my area is North Wilmington and Brandywine 100, and I had probably three or four kids participating as well. So I think there's an issue of need or maybe income that drives this, but I know that I'm in a similar situation as the MOT, so it's not just the MOT that's not getting a lot of jobs. It's my district as well. The question I have is that on the orientation, you mentioned financial literacy. Does that occur during the orientation part of this?
We bring in representatives from the money school.
Okay, great.
Captain Tackett?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I just commend you, Michael, on the program. Obviously, you know, it's a great program. We only have a small opportunity to do something with these young youths who are like little balls of clay, and if we can't help them or we can't find something for them to do, they're going to find something themselves, and most likely we're not going to be happy with it. So obviously you have a lot more applications than we do jobs, so I commend you on the job that you're doing to get those in and connect them with these jobs that are close to their home. So that's a great asset to this program. I mentioned before, I don't know if we've ever looked into it or not, but is there any opportunity, like, for the agencies that get money from the county, CBDGs or whatever, to actually plug in there something to say, you know, do you have any spots that you potentially could give, you know, for, you know, summer youth employment or whatever? That way we could, you know, maybe expand it a little bit more because they're getting services from us. I don't know.
Sophia Hansen, General Manager, Community Services. We're actually meeting tomorrow morning with the United Way to discuss that. They want to assist us with expanding what we do in terms of the orientation and training, mm-hmm. as well as the outreach to different nonprofits. So
good.
Your question is timely.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Okay, moving right along. This year we ran our full day recreation program. We ran six locations, Ritchie and Cedar Lane Elementary Schools. McCain High School is also a park activity center. We're running 100 library, and also we ran two new specialty camps at Red Rock. 352 children participated in our full-day recreation program. These children are all 8 and 7 and 12. 37% or 129 of those children received either full or partial financial aid from our various pools of financial aid. As a spinoff to the full-day recreation program, we started, this is the 10-year history of the full-day recreation camp program as it exists in its current form. It was restarted in 2006. Over the course of those 10 years, 3,045 children have registered for a total of 14,259 weeks of camp in those 10 years. So it's a very large program that's thriving, and we're making adjustments every year and getting our numbers up so that we're able to service the number of kids. This year, one of our new programs this year that allowed us to take 20 new families in was we, for the first time, accepted purchase of care funds from the state of the Delaware. Purchase of care is a state program where families go to the state to receive financial aid, whether it be for food or for daycare services. And the state actually pays either all or part of their registration fees and then directs them into our camps, and we get a check from the state to cover that. So that's something that we had this year that have added 20 families to work in the camp. It's a spinoff for our full-day camps. 4 years ago, we started with the help of Councilwoman Diller and the Christina School District in a partnership. We started a half-day camp program. This is kind of a unique program. This year, we ran at 5 locations: Brookside, Smith, and Leisure Elementary Schools in the Christina District, and then with the partnership of the City of Newcastle at Battery Park, and also with the help of Councilman Street, we ran a free half-day camp at the Woodlawn Library this year. This is a unique program because in the all the sites except the Woodlawn site, the children and their families, they come in from 8 to 12 every day, 4 days a week. The children and their families come in for a hot breakfast, they come back for a hot lunch, and then from 9 to 12 we have the kids in structured recreation programs outside. So we have them running around during those 3 hours. We feed not only them but their siblings and their parents for breakfast and for lunch. This year 159 children participated in the half-day camp program, and over the course of the 4 years that the program has been running, 661 children registered for a total of 2,764 weeks.
And this is a revenue-neutral program?
These are revenue-neutral programs, that's correct. The full-day camp programs, we're currently charging $120 a week, $35 for pre- and aftercare. Half-day camp programs we are running at $30 per week. The Woodlawn Library program is a free program. It does run revenue neutral. We do use funds from community development block grants, and also the reallocation of some community resources funds or community services funds that are directly at the program. Susan Egger, recreation supervisor in our department, is going to talk to you about
Lincoln County and the Washington.
You're probably familiar with the Safety Town program. That's a safety-focused program for kids ages 4, 5, and 6. This past year, we served 600 children. We had 13 sessions at 4 different locations, and we had, in order to make that program work, we rely on 215 volunteers. The locations were Forwood Elementary, Waters Middle School in Middletown, Pocasset Recreation Center, and more recently we've added the spring break sessions at both Pocasset and Garfield Park Recreation Center. We've added as a recruitment tool for Garfield Park a Safety Saturday program, which allows the kids in the Garfield neighborhood to learn some of those safety lessons, but we hope we'll also bring them back into the program at Garfield Park.
Okay, over the course of last fiscal year, and I'll break out some of numbers here in a second, 452 children participated in various sports camps and clinics that we offer, and over 1,800 high school athletes participated in our high school sports teams. During this current summer, we offered 11 half-day sports camps. They run from 9 to 12, one week each. We also offer 3 full-day all-sports camps, where every day we do a different sport. So we run those out of the Kirkland Soccer Club. This year, 227 children participated in the half-day summer sports camps, and 905 high school athletes participated in our high school girls basketball league, our high school girls field hockey league, and high school boys touch football league.
The At Jones Art Studio has a summer program for kids, focusing on pottery, painting, and drawing. We had 50 kids attend that this past summer. We have more recently added a free art program every month at both the At Jones Community Center and the Garfield Park Community Recreation Center. These monthly programs focus on different fine art methods. This past summer, there were 60 kids that participated in what we call the Creative Art Saturday program. Great program, yeah. Rockwood Museum has really expanded the youth program. You know, through some fabulous partnerships with the Walnut Street Y, the Women's and Drama League, and the Scouting programs. The Summertime Partnership with the Y has engaged 80 children per week at Rockwood, learning about nature and the community garden and the history there. And so that's basically partnering with their summer camp kids coming on out to Rockwood and participating there in a lot of different ways. Another way would be through the community garden there. And even some of the older kids take some of that produce back to the Y and sell it there at the Y. So that's been a great partnership. One of the newer ones is with the Y's Teen Challenge program, and 13 teams have been coming out and doing ecology-based programs, working in the gardens, working, doing some study at the streams and at the pond there. The Wilmington Drama League this year added 4 summer performances for youth and their families out at Rockwood. And then there are over a dozen Girl Scout badge programs that have been developed there at Rockwood. And they include things like the local history, the outdoor sciences, Victorian etiquette, and more.
Okay, we also run a number of programs out of Carousel Park. This year, 1,600 youth participated in 3 weekly programs that included the pony rides, arts and crafts programs, and the pony story times. The Carousel staff also ran 3 weeks of half-day camps, and 78 children participated in those camps. We run now a variety of programs on the Route 9 corridor, and one of the programs that we started three years ago, this is the third summer for it, is in partnership with the Rose Hill Community Center and the Boys and Girls Club in Delaware. We go into Rose Hill and run a basketball league for kids ages 9 to 14. We have 8 teams in the league. We play all summer long. Last year we had 56 kids participate in that basketball league. We charge them $20 and give them basically a free t-shirt and players and runners up in both leagues get individual awards as usual sports managers. So it's a very important program to run out of there. Susan will tell you about the other programs that you might want to come back for.
The partnership with the City of Wilmington brought the summer food program into some of the Route 9 parks. We served nearly 9,000 breakfast and lunch meals there at those nearby parks, Garfield Park, Oakmont, Rosegate, Simon's Garden, and Dunwoody. There was a concern with the City of Wilmington about Rosegate, its location and the layout of the park itself and safety issues, but Councilman Street really advocated and really pushed to make sure that food program happened there at Rosegate, and in the end, sure enough, we offered 2,238 meals to the kids there at Rosegate, so that was really important that was pushed for and that occurred. You've probably heard about the PITCH grant, which stands for Partnerships to Improve Community Health, and that's in partnership with Nemours Health and Prevention there. And so that, again, focuses on those parks in the Brooklyn area, Oakmont, Rosehill, and Surratt
Products.
And our gist this past summer has really been to just try to get more happening out there in those parks. So we call it the Love Your Park program, and we were able to bring out 27 kids to Surratt Park to do a variety of activities, 13 out to Rose Hill, 21 out to Oakmont, and in addition to that PITCH grant, we're working with those nearby community gardens there. So Garfield Park has a smaller community garden. The 4-H kids there at Community Recreation Center and the POW and through 4-H are involved in there. It's a beautiful little garden. Also, we're working to re-energize the Simon's Park Garden, again, in partnership with organizations like the Delaware Cooperative Extension Service and their 4-H program, and the Delaware Center for Horticulture. They've been really keen to provide some technical assistance, that sort of thing. And then also at Surratt Pool, there were 2,556 visitors that went to the pool this summer. We had regular visits for the rec camps that Andy highlighted out to the Surratt Pool. And this year we added an exercise program for seniors. So seniors from the Ad Jones Senior Center go out and have a swim at the Surratt Pool.
Great. Any questions?
Yes. Nikai Trail, I just had a question for Andy. You said that you accepted 20 purchase of care families for summer youth camp. So is that a minimum that you could accept, or will you be able to accept more families if they choose to apply?
Yes, we will accept that one of the agreements that we have with the state is that we do not turn anybody away. So whatever they give us, we will accept. So this is the first year we ran the program. We've been trying for probably 7 or 8 years now to get the contracts in place so we can run this program. If they send us 30 or 40, we're going to take 30 or 40. That's part of our
So how do the families find you? Like, how do you advertise, or is that the state program?
Through the Purchase and Care program. One of the nice things about Purchase and Care is they're actually funneling people to us.
Okay.
So these are people that go to the state, they're looking for help with various things, and the state says, you're the program we have, we're going to send you in this direction.
Okay.
We don't advertise for Purchase and Care. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the free method where people come to us.
Okay. Thank you.
And Mr. Wasserbach?
Yeah, Bob Wasserbach, County Auditor. And Andy, I was just curious as to what the police story program is. Yeah,
I don't know.
The pony, I'm sorry, the pony store?
Yeah.
Yeah, Diana Brown Libraries. We have a partnership with Community Resources to tell stories. And so the ponies come kind of like the aquatic equivalent of paws.
So really partnered.
Oh, right. Okay. I got to do this for you.
All right. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I think that you folks come in, you make a lot of presentations and everything, and it's a lot to digest. But at the end of the day, you know, you folks do a fantastic job, and you need to hear that. So, I mean, you know, when you look at the number of youth, and we'd love for it to be more. Maybe we can help find ways to, you know, come up with more funding. I think council has really tried to participate in it. But at the end of the day, it's exactly what Councilman Tackett said. You know, keeping youth busy, engaged, doing educational type things, and coming together during those summer months is so critically important. And we either keep them busy, keep them involved, and do good things with them. So that they grow up right, or, you know, we know the flip side of that. But you folks do an absolutely fantastic job, and I think all council would agree.
We'd like to follow up on this comments, if you could, with maybe you want to the next program. And I'm going to keep talking, because I know we're talking.
That's the oddity.
Yeah, well, let me think. I'm joined here today by our newest library staff member, Alex Jefferson. Why don't you stand up? He comes to us from the Philadelphia Free Library System, and he's the manager of the Woodbine Library. We're really excited to have him. I'm also joined by colleagues from Jeannie Benzel, who is the New Services Team Librarian at Brandywine Hundred Library. Renee O'Donnell is at the Wilmington Library. And Bernadette Davis is also at the Brandywine Hundred Library. Just following up on your comments, we saw a real opportunity to partner with the Summit Employment Program. And we are something that we were aware of as taking place in the Brooklyn Public Library System, which is taking teams and not just assigning them to different work sites, but really providing them with training specifically for technical training. So with that, I'm going to let Renee go ahead and do a presentation.
Good afternoon. I'm Renee O'Donnell with the Wilmington Public Library downtown. And I'd like to introduce my colleagues who have worked on this program with me. Jeannie Benzel from the Brandywine Hundred Library and Bernadette Davis from the Brandywine Hundred Library. The goal of this project is to train teams to support librarians with helping patrons with their technology needs in the library. The community need that this will help address is assistance for library patrons with limited computer experience, support for the library staff, and then training, hands-on experience for teams entering the workforce. Youth have a natural affinity for technology. When they first sit down and are faced with something new, I imagine it looks something like this. They know that it means something, and they're determined to figure it out. They are curious, and they are fearless. Now, to adult patrons who have not seen the same technology, the screen may look more like this today, right? So one of our greatest challenges that library staff face today is assisting adult patrons with their technology. The inspiration for this program came from work being done at the Brooklyn Public Library, where they have implemented the T4 program, Today's Teens, Tomorrow's Techies. So the proposal is to follow Brooklyn's example here in Delaware by selecting 15 teens from the Newcastle County Summer Youth Employment Program and providing them with technology training and professional skills, and once trained, they will work as computer assistants in the libraries. So by training these teams, the technical component is vital, but it does not stand alone. We will also be, the teams will also be learning the soft skills they need to succeed in the professional environment, as well as the teaching methods, so that they will be able to effectively communicate and support patrons who are learning to use the technology. So what our patrons need is a lot of basic computer assistance, and we hope to train the team to in part fill the role of computer aide in various libraries throughout the county. So part of the training would be a basic, covering a basic computer skill from Microsoft Word, Excel, how to set up email accounts. And we want to cover this training because we don't want to let them know it all. And we also want to give them enough confidence in those skills that they can teach somebody else. We will also be training them on some new technology in addition to the basic computer skills. So some examples include 3D printing, robotics, animation, maybe video editing. All of this training will be conducted according to the framework of learn, practice, and then apply, and in our case that means teach. For these teams, the learning and the practicing will go hand in hand during a two-week training period at the beginning of the summer. And then for the rest of the summer, the teams will apply what they have learned as they teach patrons to navigate the technology that's already in the library. An important component of the training for the teams is going to be helping them to be comfortable in conveying information to others. So to pace themselves, to be patient, articulate, curious, and enthusiastic. We recognize as library staff that we have an obligation to connect with our community, and this pilot program will provide a great opportunity to do so. And I'd like to end with this quote. The mission of libraries will not change, but the way librarians accomplish their mission will change. Does anybody have any questions?
Keep up the excellent work.
Thank you. So I can block, I can just drop in and give them unfreeze my smartphone. And, you know, I mean, I'm down in the district, but I'm desperate.
There are some librarians in the system who can help you with that. I'm not sure if that's going to be one of the skills.
Y'all already know it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Thank you very much. One question, and then we need to adjourn to get executive session.
Yes. Just an observation. I think this is a great way to engage you. It's something that promotes kind of understanding of older folks and provides a useful, you know, skill set and service to the technology computer challenge, you know, older clients in our, and citizens in our community. And it's going to make libraries, I think, even that much more attractive because the older person who wants to get involved with computers knows that they can go there and get assistance. And instead of, you know, running to a library staff that may be overworked as it is or have other tasks, you'll have this ability for younger people in the community to help them. So it's going to create an even more welcoming atmosphere in our county library.
We'll definitely create that need for that one-on-one assistance at that particular person's level and at the time that that person
is working. Thank you. We have an announcement under other.
A few minutes before 4 o'clock, we have the council reporting down to the chamber. We have 4 o'clock documents already. And then the Sergeant Executive Committee will go to the audience.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much to Community Services and the staff for coming out and doing these great presentations. I'm sorry we kind of had everything squished in here, but these things happen. So, any public comment?
Motion adjourned.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. We're going down to the council photo and back up.